It's time for Harley's CAT Scan, a weekly podcast featuring the who's who of your Prince George Cougars.
And welcome to CAT Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. The coach and general manager of the PG Cougars. How about this? We are closing out February. 19 games to go. Coach, can you feel that finish line?
Well, it's when you look at the games, things go by so quick and stuff. But I really don't feel the finish line yet. Just in terms of what we've dealt with for the last couple of years, where everything is, you just don't know what to expect on any given day, and that's kind of the way my brain is working right now, is just day by day.
What about the players? Are we still in the dog days for players? We all know that August, July for baseball is the dog days, and hockey season has it. Are we there for the Cougars yet, or are we beyond that? Are we approaching that? How do you look at that?
Well, I look at that differently, too, because everything, there's nothing the same in anything that we're doing right now. We get to play hockey. That's the same. You go out there and you compete. But everything away from the game, how we're dealing with the pandemic, is it, you know, February was kind of like the blues in the hockey season. Is it now, because we've had a lot of Februaries that are kind of the same? You know, so it's really, I think every individual would answer that question different, including myself. So it's really hard to say.
With some of the restrictions being lifted and now full capacity allowed, is there more of a sense with the hockey team that things are returning to normal, or do you still think everybody looks at it, we still have a long way to go?
I think we look at it as we got a long way to go. You know, and the kids, you know, I've never heard them talking about it or anything like that, about the restrictions. We have certain protocols that we just follow, and it's turning into how we live our daily lives right now. And those are all still the same. So nothing's changed from our standpoint and how we do business right now.
Usually when you're on the road after a game, you'll head for home if there's no other road game to go. But I think last week against Kelowna, you guys decided to stay an extra night, if I have my information correct. If so, what was the strategy and reasoning behind that?
Well, just to get the regular sleep habit, you know, just to stay on their schedule. You know, we'd have got in really late in the morning, and so you're not going to have a good practice that day. You're going to be trying to recoup, you know. So the best was just to stay in bed and have breakfast there, and then travel that day and have a pregame skate and be as refreshed as we could.
Now, is that something you're looking to do more of going forward, or is this sort of a one-time kind of deal?
Well, it's the way the schedule, you know, when we're playing the same team, we have the same, that's why we did it. It could change. We just try to do different things at different times. And I think that was probably the right thing to do.
So right now at home, you're 10-12-1-1, but you have lost your last five at CN Center. And on the road, you're 9-15-1 and overall 19-27-2-1. The good news is that's going to be good enough to get you a playoff spot, although not yet clinched. However, you know, you are going to be in the 6-7 range in the conference, 3-4 in the division, depending how the race goes with Vancouver. How do you look at that?
Well, I really don't look at it like that at all. I look at it, you know, we got 19 games to play, and like I said, we don't look too far ahead at all. And there's no use in doing that because it's so blurry out there. You know, we have to look at how we play. We have to look at how what players we have in the lineup. There's just a lot of different factors that have come into play this year, which has made it really hard at times for the hockey club and the kids.
So as a coach, you sort of chuckle a little bit how media perceive things, sometimes how fans perceive things, and everybody's looking at the standings all the time and the record and when you can clinch, because it seems like that's not your mindset at all.
No, because you're spending too much time in the wrong areas. Our main focus is, and there's a lot of different things that have happened to the hockey club, and I'm sure it's happening to a lot of other hockey clubs too. But if you start putting all your focus into those areas and how many games you got left, and there's so many things that come upon us in a daily schedule that you just have to be ready for. And you never know what it's going to be. And for the most part, it's players that are in and out of the lineup. Like you can deal with injuries, but then you put the COVID problems, you know, into the injury problems, where sometimes the kids are not playing and they're perfectly normal. You know, that puts a lot of havoc on our hockey team. And to put it in a little bit of perspective, is we haven't had our full lineup since we've came back from Christmas.
Now, on your top line, obviously, is Height and Zimmer. And I know because you've been short in some areas, you have rotated the winger with those two, whether it be Armstrong, whether it be Hooker, whether it be McAdams. Ideally, if you're at full strength, is it Armstrong the guy?
Well, ideally that's, you know, they play well together. But every time you put Armstrong there, you're taken away from somewhere else too, you know, so it's, and a lot of the lineup is just, you know, you have to put a lineup together and you're putting people all over the place. You're putting them in positions where, you know, not necessarily they're going to have success. It's just for need. But when we're healthy, we know it's a really good line. But for depth-wise, you know, Armstrong at center and running his own line would probably be better for the hockey club.
Did you think you would score more goals? I know myself as an observer, I thought that you would. You've gone through a stretch here, about 12 or 13 games, where you've only scored more than two goals once, and that was when you won in Kelowna by a 5-2 count. But basically, you know, you're averaging 2.65 goals per game. I thought you would be closer to three. How do you feel about that?
Well, you could probably say that you could probably be closer to three if you have your full lineup every night. And people are always working off a full lineup. We're not, as coaches. We're working off the lineup that you're dealing with on a given basis. So the chemistry and putting things together has been real hard. Hard to do. Like when you're playing with, you know, we played anywhere between 14 players, 15 players, 16 players, 17 players. And then when we've had to add players into our lineup in the U.S. trip, you're adding younger players in also. So those are all factors in the offense. If it was normal, and you had your lineup and you're struggling to score goals, which you might be at different times anyways. Every team goes through that and you got to find a way to score goals. But on what we've been going through, I'm not as concerned as if you had your normal lineup and you had everybody available.
You've hinted on post-game shows, but have not gone into detail that a number of guys are playing that are not 100%. Now, I know a lot of teams have that, but how serious is it? And what is that fine line between whether a player can play or not play?
Yeah, well, that's up to the doctors and up to our training staff to pick that out. But yeah, we're a team that's really beat up because when you have that short of lineup at times, it's not... There's guys that are playing way, way too much. We have guys that have played way too much. We got some guys, but experience-wise, it's been so good for our hockey club. You really get to know the players, you know, really well. But we didn't practice yesterday, you know, to go out there because we wouldn't have had a full lineup, and we need to have some good practice time. But you need to have players in the right spot to have some good practice time. So that's where the rest comes in. And it's probably no different than any other team. But, you know, we've had some real rough stretches here in our travel and with the roads being out and stuff. So it's been a lot different this year than any normal year.
I would guess among your forwards that Zimmer has played more than anybody else. Is he one of those guys you're referring to, your top scorer, that maybe you're playing him a little too much? I've seen games where he goes every second shift.
Yeah, and that's and it's not the luxury that you want, even though he's a great player, because you're playing and these kids in situations where they probably shouldn't be. And he's not the only guy. He's one of the guys when you can double shift a Zimmer, that's a good thing for our hockey club in short term. But in long term, it's not good because you wear them out.
Right, and you have to get everybody ready for playoffs. So when do you start thinking about, okay, I want to win regular season games, but I have to start thinking about playoffs and making sure health and rest comes before possible regular season wins?
No, we take it one game at a time. So right now, we just worry about the regular season. Right now, you have to play good in regular seasons to make the playoffs. There's a lot of things that can happen. There's so many factors out there that we don't take anything for granted at all. So, like I say, we don't look too far ahead. We just have to keep our focus in the right areas, keep our focus in the practices, keep our focus on the team, the players that we have, and you just hope everyone, you know, stays healthy and things keep improving.
I've talked a lot about numbers. I'm going to give you some other numbers from one other player, and I think these numbers don't tell the true story, and that's a Tyler Brennan, 3.27 a GAA, .910 save percentage. He's played at a much higher level than that, and I'm sure you would agree, and I would vote right now he would be your MVP.
Well, he's certainly up there, for sure. And yeah, like there's just so many factors that have come into any type of numbers on our team. And like I say, I just look at our team. You know, you look around the league, you keep on top of what's going on and everything. But you dive right into your team. There's a lot of guys that have played really good hockey on our team, and he's one of them. And you know, the age of our hockey club, we're so young, the matchups that our young guys are getting against good hockey clubs, and then the factors of being so short staffed. And when you do lose some guys and you bring other guys in, it just makes you younger. So that's where the goalies come into play. And that's where the workload comes into play. And both our goalies have played exceptionally well under these circumstances.
Now, speaking about Young, Ty Young is your backup. Do you sort of have a plan that it's Brennan 2 out of 3 or 3 out of 4? How do you sort of gauge that?
Yeah, it once again, we talk about it all the time. We really don't have that long-term plan. Especially right now, like our schedule just, bang, it was so busy, and now it's not busy. So how are we going to, use our goaltenders? That's, I really consult with Taylor Dakers. That's kind of his area where he's the lead guy on when they're playing and when they're not playing. We consult. We talk to, the other coaches also, and then we find our fits from there.
You're listening to Cat Scan. It's brought to you by Integris. Local speaks louder than words. Mark Lamb is the coach and general manager of the Prince George Cougars, who this weekend will be home to Taylor Gauthier in the Portland Winterhawks. Come on, Mark, you have to be looking forward to these two games, maybe a little bit more than if Gauthier wasn't on the Portland team, right?
Well, we already played him once, so I got my fix of Gauthier there. It's a game. It's going to be special for Taylor, coming back here. He's spent so many years here, so it's going to be special for him. For us, we got a task at hand. Like I said, we played against Portland before. They're a powerhouse. They're a real good team, and it's going to be a big challenge for us.
He's 12-1, 1.61 GAA, 944 save percentage in 13 games with the Winterhawks. He's only had one bad period, and that was actually last Saturday against Seattle. He gave up four in the second period. Other than that, I'm not even sure he has been human. I mean, you and I both have a lot of respect. We think a lot of Taylor Gauthier. But even you must be wondering, and I've been thinking, I knew he was really good, but those numbers are just off the charts, Mark.
Yeah, good for him. It's great for him. But the progression that Taylor's shown, those numbers aren't surprising at all. We knew he was a good goalie. We knew Portland was a real good team. We thought it was a real good fit. We were so happy to, you know, to be able to make that trade for ourselves, you know, bringing Bronberg back, who's just solidified RD. You know, he's a real good player. So actually even a better player than I thought. I think they probably both us, Mike Johnson and myself, were going, you know, probably didn't know Taylor Gauthier was that good, and we didn't know Bronberg was that good. So it's really worked out for both teams. I'm happy for Taylor. We knew he was a real good goalie, and his maturity and stuff, his progression when he left here, has just kept right on going.
Can I get clarification on the trade with Gauthier? I'm just wondering if Portland has success in the playoffs or they go far in the playoffs, does that enhance or increase the draft pick you are going to get back from the Winterhawks?
Yeah, there's a condition in there on playoff performance for Taylor.
Okay, has that been made public, or is that just private between the teams?
It's just a condition. You can see in the later, but it's kind of private. There's a condition in there that we get more if they do good.
Right. Okay. Now, I know you don't want to look at playoffs, but, you know, just for the fun, that you know that there is a possibility that you could get Taylor in the playoffs as opposed to a Kamloops, possibly a Seattle. Now, most coaches will say that they don't have a preference, but I imagine with the kind of respect you have for Taylor Gauthier, going against that kind of a goaltender would not be a dream matchup, correct?
Yeah, like I said, I really don't talk about playoffs or think about who we're going to play. We got 19 games left, and I don't even go there. I just can't go there right now. We got so much work to do. There's so many things that can happen, and we just got to keep our focus in the right areas.
Okay, would you admit this, that on Friday night the ideal situation would be Brennan first star, Gauthier second star, and whoever gets the game-winning goal from the Cougars, the third star? Is that sort of the ideal?
I would take that any day, yeah.
I want to talk about Bronberg because you mentioned him, and I've really been paying attention, and he doesn't come up in the stats. He only got four assists, and, you know, he doesn't have a goal. He does so many little things that are not on the stats. And you have to be there at the game and pay particular attention. And there have been times that I've wanted to, you know, put him into the stars. It just hasn't quite worked out, and based on how the game has gone. But I've noticed, like, a lot of games, he does things younger guys are not at that level yet. And can you just sort of talk about those small things that you see from him that is improving that defense?
Yeah, I see exactly what you're seeing, and probably, you know, a little bit more. He does so many things, and, you know, that's why I brought his name up. Like, and, you know, even when we had Taylor here, you have a 20-year-old goalie that they're not on the ice all the time. So when he's not starting, he's not playing. Now Bronberg's playing every night, and the impact he's had on her, it's just so noticeable. It's eye-catching. So that's the good part, that everybody can see that. But then the stuff that nobody sees, and because he doesn't have big stats and everything, he logs big minutes, but is, you know, he's probably the best passer on our team. The first pass, his positioning defensively is great. He's a 20-year-old veteran. He's like a pro, like the way he handles himself off the ice, his attitude, his manners. It's just, Mike, when we were doing the deal, we talked about Mike was this guy's, and, you know, then I'm watching him play and I'm just like, man, like, he does so many things, and you look at his numbers and you're going, they should be way better. But, you know, we talked about that. It's not about numbers for him, which is really special for a player to even say that, because he knows where he's comfortable with his game, and we certainly are too, and that's exactly what we needed. And he's a player that our young D can really look at, and they do, and they've talked about it. You know, watching this guy practice and watching him prepare and watching him play the games is something for these young guys to watch.
Yeah, he knows how to utilize the boards when clearing the puck out of his zone. He knows when to sprawl on the ice, when to go down, when not to go down. His vision is really good. These are small things that you really... I don't know if I can get that across when I'm doing a radio broadcast. And yeah. I imagine you look at those things in the film.
Well, we break, you know, and that's exactly what we do. Like when you have your eye test during the game and you watch the game and you're from behind the bench. And then you have all these analytics and, you know, I have my own way of breaking it down with scoring chances and where they come from. And it's unbelievable how this guy just keeps showing up, and he shows up on the good side of the scoring chances, and he shows up on the good side of scoring chances against, where he's breaking up a lot, you know. So that's not only do you have the eye test, which you are seeing and I'm seeing too, but then you have the backup of all these different analytics that give him a lot of credibility also.
Right. And in a Prince George uniform, he's a +3, if my stats are correct, or he's just above the plus mark, which for a team that gives up more goals than they score, that's very good as well. Now, you talk about some of the, you know, the stats that we don't see. Is there another player or two that maybe is not a big stats guy that you've sort of taken aback? Boy, he looks a little bit better than his stats show.
Yeah, you would like, and this is probably a pretty easy one, is O'Brien. You know, he has scored a goal, you know, this year, and does so many smart things on the ice that really go unnoticed, probably to a lot of people. You know, because that's what happens. Most people just look at the stats and then make their judgment. But, you know, he played when we had a full lineup, or close to a full lineup. I had him playing with Heighton in Zimmer, you know, when we went on the road, because it's they get the hard matchups all the time, and he's a real smart defensive player that actually can make plays with those guys also. So here's a player that kind of goes unnoticed through a bunch of analytic stats.
I want to sort of change the direction for our conversation, and you have been very well associated. It's been no secret. You're a very good friend of Dave Tippett. I imagine as a good friend of his, he took it hard when the Edmonton Oilers made the change. Is there any insight you can give us? Can you let us know, Dave, how he's doing, how he reacted? Was he surprised? All of those things, because there really hasn't been a lot of reaction that I've seen that's come from in a lot of coaches. Once they get dismissed, I understand, and rightfully so, they go away from the spotlight for a little bit, try to get themselves back together. It's always difficult. Obviously, you've had some conversations with him. Is there anything you can share about that?
Not really. I have talked to him. He's a real stand-up guy. He takes everything like a man. He's a low-key person. He doesn't need a lot of limelight. He's a real good coach. He's been a good coach for a long time. Circumstances happened. He deals with it. He's back in Phoenix. He moves on to the next part of his life, which is retirement. I'm not sure he was even looking forward to coming back next year anyways. I think that was one of the factors. It was just a lot of things were growing on him, and he's going to be happy with retirement.
Such a high-profile job when you have two high-end players like that. And, you know, for a while, they were doing well. Then you go into a slump, the pressure builds. How do you sort of look at that? I'm talking about the coaching profession. We all know coaches are hired to be fired and all of those things. But it's one thing to say it. It's another thing when reality hits. We've seen a number of NHL coaches get dismissed soon as any kind of a losing streak happens. You're in the coaching business. I know it's at the junior level, but you have been at the professional level. How do you look at this?
Well, I think everything is so more enhanced now, you know, through social media, and you can get to different people, and it can create such a negative impact on really what's going on with any hockey team. Whether it's real or it's not real, they can kind of make it seem however they want. And, you know, certain people just jump on it. Like and I'm not even just talking sports. You can talk politics, and it's all the same kind of dynamic of negativity. And when that gets running wild, it's really hard to stop.
What would you say to a young coach, and there have been young coaches in the WHL and other leagues that have been dismissed, with all your experience, what would you say to a young coach that loses their job and is sort of feeling down and out a little bit, and you know they're a good coach, but things haven't worked out? What advice would you give them?
Well, you got to, if you love it, then you keep going, and you learn from it, because the next job you get, you're going to be better. If you were good enough to get there, and you didn't stay long, then you got to learn from it. There's certain things that you have to clean up, and that's the best advice you can get, because it's not the end of the world. It was a situation that didn't work out for you, and that's why you see so many coaches that have been around a long time get rehired, because there's different fits and different situations that come by. You know, the coaches are, you know, hired to get fired, but in that business, you always know someone's going to get fired too. So there's going to be an opening.
Right. Has there been a time that you sort of look back on your long coaching career that you've, you know, sort of been down a little bit? And conversely, has there been a time when you've felt on top of the world?
Well, you feel like that. In this business, you feel like that numerous times, like where you're always trying to figure it out. And you're going to go through the ups and downs of hockey. You know, you're going to lose games when you play good. You know, you're going to win some games that you're not playing that good. That makes no sense. You should win games that you play good. But, you know, hockey's not like that, and sports is not like that. You can play unbelievable and run into a hot goaltender, which we've done the last while. And what's happening right now too is there's no trade deadline anymore. Teams are what they have, and they're gearing up for the playoffs, and you know, goaltending gets better right now, checking gets better right now, everything gets a little enhanced. So when you're coaching, you have to keep up with all that.
Now, I have a chance to speak with you after every home game, along with Fraser, when we do the post game show. Win or lose, your demeanor is relatively the same. Whenever you've done these interviews, it's relatively the same. Look at you on the bench. Oh, sometimes you get a little animated with a referee or something like that. But for the most part, you sort of keep it even keel. I'm wondering, when you're by yourself and maybe that fifth straight loss has happened at home or something hasn't gone right, do you, when there's nobody around, would you kick a garbage can? Would you let it all loose? Or are you that way 24/7?
Well, I burn pretty hard. I do it. You know, I got a lot of passion for the game. I think I work hard at it. You know, the players know where I'm coming from. But you want to stay composed. We know where we're at. We're comfortable where we're at with the organization. I've never mixed my words there of what type of hockey club we have. We have a great future that can't be jeopardized. We got to keep doing the right things, whether it's a pandemic or not, you know, to have real success in the long run. And that's my focus. That's my focus every day. Win one, win four, lose four, you know, lose five at home. You know, I don't focus on that because it doesn't help. I have to focus on how we're playing and figure out, you know, how we can get better all the time. And it's been really, really hard. But on that hand, you know, the experience that we're all getting through this pandemic and how we're having to run our business and do things should make us all better.
The one owner that you keep in touch with on a regular basis is Eric Brewer. Talk about your relationship. Give us a little insight what you guys discuss. How often will you talk about situations? Is it after each game? Does he offer some suggestions? How does that work with you and Eric?
You know, it's weird. Yeah, we don't have a set plan on how we talk or whatever. If I need to phone him or he needs to phone me, we just do it. You know, we go through you know, periods of time where we don't talk to each other, you know, because he's not around. But you know, he watches the games. You know, if he wants to text or whatever, that's our relationship. It's very even keel. It's very respectful, and I have that relationship with all the owners. You know, John's around a little bit more, but you know, on the phone, you know, we have some conference calls at different times, and I'm very transparent. Try to keep everybody up to speed and on the same page.
Right. Do you ever talk to Dave Tippett about just general things about the Cougars, just to get a neutral point of view, since he's such a good friend of yours?
Oh, I use my hockey connections all the time, and we talk hockey. We talk about how we're playing. We'll, you know, maybe run something on the power play or penalty kill or 5-on-5 system wise. You know, I have a lot of good friends in the business that I run, not just Dave Tippett, but you know, a few people that I really trust, and I talk to them regularly.
When it's on the power play, I've always thought that if you get some chances and get some shots, it's a good power play, even if it's 0-for-1. Somebody might look at it and say, well, if you don't score, what difference does it make? How do you look at that as a coach when you look at the power play?
Well, you can't look at on the like that. You know, you have to look at on the chances that you're getting and the positive part, because if you look at it the other way, it'll be so negative, right? There, you know, our power play has been good. Even, you know, we had some great chances last game. We were 1-for-8. You know, do you want to get more? Absolutely. Cause you know, that would have, you know, solidified the game. But you know, when our power play was really going bad, we weren't getting the chances or the grade A chances that we're creating now. And, so when you're doing something good, you got to stick with it and get better at it.
All right. Final question going forward. You're talking about the 19 games. I know you're just concentrating on Portland right now. But as we get into the home stretch, your mindset, the message you want to give to the Prince George Cougar fans.
Well, it's the same thing, same mindset that that I've had all year long. Nothing's changed from the team or my standpoint. It's about getting better. It's about, you know, getting healthy and having a good, you know, last 19 games. And I don't want to break it down into, you know, 19 games, because that's so many, but we want to be playing good. And if we're playing good, everything else takes care of itself.
Appreciate your time. As always, we'll keep in touch.
All right. Thanks, Hartley.
Mark Lamb is the head coach and a general manager of the Prince George Cougars. And you've been listening to CatScan. It's brought to you by Integris, where local speaks.